Welcome to the Dialer Show, the podcast where we talk about addiction, self-help, environment issues, and all good things to make your life a little better if I can. This is a weekly podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or on Google Play or any other platform that suits you best.
I'm still working on my phone. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Of course. I'd love to hear more about what you're up to and how I can help you out.
Well, I've been looking up, not like I'm stalking you or anything, but I've been checking you out on the internet. And obviously, you run a podcast. That's what I think I got in touch with you because you've got an award-winning podcast with 100,000 downloads so far. It's probably more now, I guess.
That is correct.
Yeah, what is the number now?
Oh, the number now, I think, actually that 100,000 figure isn't too dated, maybe only a couple months, so we're probably in the 110 to 120 range these days.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about your podcast and your business, the business that you have on the groundupimpact.com.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk about that as well, and obviously the podcast, because I'm interested in that too. So I wanted to do a bit of both, really, and talk about yourself, really.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm totally new at this. So, I should have sent you the questions, and I probably will in the future.
say it again.
I should have sent you the questions that I want to ask you. I know I should have done that, shouldn't I?
You know, actually, that's you're starting out, so you're learning, but that's usually a best practice for folks. it's not to say that everyone is going to review them every time.
Yeah.
You know, we have had plenty of guests that just kind of like rattle off. Without looking at anything, but sometimes it is helpful just to like give people an idea of what you'd like to cover.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sorry about that. I should have done that.
Okay.
So I apologize there.
No worries.
Thanks. You're a nice man. So you live in Denver, right? In Colorado, is that right?
That is correct. So I grew up out here. I've lived in a number of different cities in the U.S. I was in D.C. for a little while, New York, and then San Francisco. I spent some time in London and have now moved back to my hometown of Denver.
Did you move? Did you live in London? In England, right?
I did live in London, yeah, for about 6 months. I was there. First in Finsbury Park and then over in St. John's Wood.
That sounds good. How did you find England?
It was amazing. First off, London, there's just so much cool energy going on all over that city and you know, almost every different neighborhood. And then, you know, Americans can never get enough of the charming British countryside. So I was certainly one of those.
Yeah, sounds good. And so you're back in Denver now, yeah? Is that where you want to base yourself from now on, or are you thinking about going somewhere else?
You know, for the time being, I'm here. It's nice to be back home. You know, Denver is a very quickly growing city on the footsteps of the Rocky Mountains, and so it's cool to be back in a city that's wrestling with so many of its own growth and sustainability challenges. And you know, I guess just being close to the mountains to begin with, people are sustainability oriented, so it's just nice to be a part of that community and hopefully help it grow in a more sustainable way.
So that's good for your business, groundyourimpact.com. So what you're saying? So you got like a
correct?
Business,
well, yeah? You know, the natures of online businesses these days, you know, place is decreasingly important, but it is nice just to surround yourself with other energetic folks that are passionate about the same things you are. So that's certainly been the case out here, and truthfully, in every other city I've been fortunate enough to live in.
Yeah. So that takes most of your time these days? Because I'm guessing that the podcast doesn't take you as much time, or I don't know. So the groundimpact.com is really where you mostly doing work on. Is that right?
Yeah. So let me. I can give you kind of a brief introduction to both.
Right.
As a side note, you know, I'm not sure. Kind of one of the things that we describe to guests is kind of like the context of the interview. So like when we come on and say, "Hey, you know, DJ, we're here to talk to you about this. We're going to give the listeners, you know, this sort of context before we lead into your interview, just so that you're aware of what the listeners know going into it." So,
right.
You know, my question to you is, you know, if if you're going to give, before this interview comes on, an overview of the podcast and of Ground Up Impact, then I won't, you know, bore everybody else by repeating it again. But if that's not the case, then I'm happy to just, like, give the introduction at this point. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. I mean, please do, because I was going to ask you exactly, actually, what do you do the business involve? I mean, from what I've seen, I'm actually not sure really if I'm right, but you help new businesses, or you help startups, or you help actually current established business in terms of their impact on the environment. Is that right?
Yeah. So Ground Up Impact focuses on impact-oriented startups. So Oftentimes the folks I'm working with have the stages of their ideas are a little bit different. Sometimes they are as you know, step one, as I'm trying just to figure out what I want to do. You know, these are my interests, but I know I have this entrepreneurial perspective. I just don't know what to do, all the way to, you know, here's our business model. We've already crunched some preliminary numbers, but we're looking for you to help us, you know, take that to the next level and help us with our, you know, growth and go-to-market strategy. So it's kind of a wide range there. And then I will say, you know, back to your earlier point, the Ground Up Impact and Sustainability Defined, the podcast, they almost go hand in hand.
Right.
A lot of the you know, folks I work with under Ground Up, you know, have been exposed to the methodology we bring to Sustainability Defined, so that we, you know, they're familiar with how we perceive different industries and break down the trends and opportunities within them. So the podcast, which has now been going for about 3 years or so, you know, we've seen just encouraging growth, I think, pretty consistently month over month. And truthfully, I think a lot of our growth just comes from word of mouth.
Right.
We don't invest too heavily into, you know, things like paid marketing or anything like that. You know, maybe that's something we can branch off to in the future. But, you know, the podcast is a time commitment in itself, simply because there's so much research that goes in to each episode. And I think that's what's helped us get into different university curriculums, just by virtue of the quality of that research. But, you know, then of course, speaking with guests and editing and production, it's definitely a time consuming process. So between that and Ground Up Impact, I'm staying pretty busy.
How long do you reckon that you spend on the podcast on a weekly basis?
Oh man, I would say, you know, because we only produce episodes once a month, you know, it doesn't necessarily come. It's not like a we have consciously set it at once a month, just because we know how much time goes into it. So I would say behind every episode you hear, there are probably anywhere between 30 and 40 hours of work that have gone into it. So that is everything from, you know, sourcing the interview, collaborating with our sponsors, doing the research, doing the actual interview, and then production and distribution and marketing. So it's definitely time consuming. And of course, you know, Scott and I, my partner, do the podcast almost as, you know, it's not our sole project. So we've had to build it in a way that's, you know, quote, sustainable for us from a workload perspective. But it's definitely a labor of love, that's for sure.
So yeah, it's actually quite nearly a week a month that you spend on researching the podcast. Well, that's quite a lot of time, isn't it? Yeah.
It definitely gets, the labor of love is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of things. It's just what you see in the end, you don't see all the hard work that was put in, like for movies and stuff, or for music, for example. I'm just trying to read. How did you find, I mean, your podcast is sponsored by Patreon, is that right?
Patreon? That's an interesting question. So Patreon, and I'm not sure if this is, you know, how popular it is overseas, you know, over in the UK and the rest of Europe, but Patreon basically exists as a way for casual listeners to be able to support our podcast. So let's say, you know, they're not necessarily quote unquote sponsors, but if you're a listener and you say, oh, I like, you know, the horrible jokes these guys try to tell, I can give them anywhere between one to, I think our highest tier is maybe $100 a month.
Right.
With different kinds of perks that come back to them as a way for them to directly support. You know, we'll do much more traditional sponsorships. We've done sponsored content with Walmart, United Technologies and a company called Ingersoll Rand.
Wow.
And then companies can also just kind of come on our show in the form of advertisements. You know, so we've had a couple for other podcasts. We've had some for a sustainably sourced underwear company, which is a lot of fun.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, it's an interesting challenge. You know, you're trying to monetize what is fundamentally a free product.
Yeah.
And so it's something that a lot of creatives are struggling with, you know, not only podcasters, but musicians and artists. And so there are ways that have come up to try to you know, help the creators out in that regard. And that's what Patreon is for us.
Yeah, because I've just heard of Patreon because I listened to the Tim Ferriss podcast and I love the stuff. And that's where I got introduced to Patreon. I'm on it now. And I think it's a great tool. I mean, yeah, for musicians, as you said. But you mentioned that you've got customers that pay some kind of fee for you to showcase their product. At what points did you start to approach companies, or did it actually came to you? How did that work out at the start?
Yeah, and this can go back to what I know you touched on earlier, which is kind of our numbers in the early days, because right. the two pieces are directly related. So, you know, when we launched, it was a big deal for us to break 100 downloads. And so then, you know, every kind of factor of 10 above that has been something that they're kind of different inflection points. So, you know, 100 episodes, you know, it is, we never had a problem sourcing guests for the interview because everyone wants to come on and talk about what they do.
Okay.
But at that level, we didn't have any sponsors that were willing to basically give us the time of day, as horrible as it sounds. once we reached about 1,000 downloads a month, I'm talking monthly numbers, so 100 downloads a month.
Right.
Once we, you know, up tenfold to 1,000 downloads a month, that's when we saw more inbound requests coming to us relative to outbound requests. So at that point, we had people reaching out to us asking to be on the show, and that was when we first started seeing the email saying, hey, we're looking to sponsor podcasts, you know, maybe we can do that.
All right.
Then, you know, the next you know, factor of 10 above that is closer to the 10,000 download a mark, or 10,000 downloads per month metric, which is where we are now, given, you know, back to our once a month release schedule. And that is kind of where I think we've been able to establish ourselves as a real podcast in the industry, one that is, you know, hopefully not necessarily industry leading, but, you know, we produce research that folks can actually, I might rephrase that, and DDA, this is kind of the art of podcasting, you know.
I know.
Some of these you can just say we're going to record it live, and all the typos and the steps we say we can just publish live, but you know, we tend to edit ours to make it a little bit more crisp. You know, our goal was to be the go-to knowledge source for folks that are interested in sustainability, no matter what their specific field is. And so I think around that 10,000 download a month mark, we've been able to position ourselves as that. I think the caliber of our sponsorships and our guests have increased in tandem with that. So, you know, it's definitely a growth process, but it's helpful to kind of draw these milestones as you're getting there, just to trace your own growth.
Right, so I've got some time to go. It's a long way to go. But
everyone's got to start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to ask you, like, personally, was there like a hard time at the start? I'm guessing yes. But what made you when made you carry on, or what was on the bad days? What did you think that, you know, maybe, or what am I doing this for? What was your power to carry on, kind of thing, the motivation to carry on? What was that for you?
That's a really good and important question, I think, for anyone that's really considering doing this and sticking with it.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that the podcast is something that both my partner Scott and I truly believe in. You know, at the end of the day, we are both compelled by sustainability, and we like just horrible puns and bad jokes. So, you know, having that in common helped us chisel out the hours when they were not easy to find, especially kind of like in that 100 to 1,000 download per month range, when you're sure, okay, like, you know, someone is out there downloading it, but you're not sure what effect it has. And truthfully, you know, when you're doing this podcasting, it can be hard to see what effect you actually are having, because it's, you know, it's something that you're doing from behind your own computer screen. And so we had to wait until we got emails that came into us and said, oh my God, you know, I heard this, and then that made me start my own similar podcast in Mongolian, you know, purely for Mongolians. Or we had another listener reach out and said, you know, after your episode on plastics, I decided to reach out to the guy you interviewed. I lined up a job for myself in India. I moved my life from Australia to India to pursue this. And so those are those kinds of stories that are hard to tell or hard to discern when you're not, when you can't see like the very visible impact you're having. So it was, you know, not being able to have that, but knowing that this is just a passion project that we would want to be doing anyways is what helped us keep going through that time. And I think just keeping your eyes, you know, not necessarily too far down the road as far as where you want to be, but it's kind of like the next sequential step, just to make sure you're moving up that mountain before you take a look around at what kind of view you've got behind you.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Sure.
What's up for you next? You're going to stick with the podcast model, or you, because some people are going, changing, maybe going to YouTube kind of a platform. Is that something that you guys are thinking about, or are you just going to stick with the podcast model for now?
Yeah, Didier, that's a great question, because one of my favorite internet facts is that I believe YouTube is the second most used search engine only after Google, which means that, you know, us, by not being on YouTube, at least at this point in time, you know, we're limiting ourselves to a certain amount of traffic that we might be able to tap into. For us, the challenge has always been time in production. You know, we now live in different cities. I'm in Denver, Scott is in DC. There's probably a way to do it. We haven't invested all of the time into it, but you know, I will say, being an independent podcast, you are, you know, you're trying to monetize. There's a lot of time that we end up spending more time than we would want to with the sponsorship piece. And so we have found, and you know, you might come across this, other podcasters might, or creatives or content producers, time just really starts to run thin. So the answer to your question is, we're not there yet. I think it's definitely somewhere we could go in the future, just so that the world can see our shining faces, but we are not there yet.
Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for that. I'm just gonna be more personal now. I think just want to ask you, what defines to me what makes you happy these days? What turns you on in terms of what makes you happy? What makes you happy in a day?
Yeah, you know, that's I will say, being in sustainability, that is sometimes hard. You know, like I think everyone, the clickbait headlines, the sensationalist stuff as far as like how not great things are going, can definitely impact you. I think I am happiest when I focus on what is immediately in front of me. So right now, you know, it's early summertime in Denver. I've been able to get to the mountains a couple times.
Yeah, nice.
And so enjoying those outdoors, knowing that I've been able to you know, dedicate some of my time to hopefully protect those resources, do what I can to aid this larger fight against climate change, I think is the balance that's helping me stay happy.
I'm starting to do I think I've mentioned in my email, I've started this group called Trash Busters, and we just come out once a week for an hour, and we clean up the streets and the nature from some people that just dump their stuff. And so we do that, and I get a great feeling from it, you know, because you actually feel like you're doing something, you know, and meet new people. So it does feel it's a good thing, and I think I'm happy that I can bring people together and doing something for the planet, because we all gotta do a little bit. So I think that's something that I recommend to people. So, because when I was breaking up with a girl a few years ago, and somebody said, "Do something for your community. You'll see, you'll feel good about yourself." And I've got to say, it's really true. You know,
I was just gonna say, I think you focus on two really important pieces there. Number one is the idea of concrete action that you can see yourself having, which is one way just to feel good about the time you're spending doing what you're doing. And then number two is that community piece, where you're able to meet people that are into doing the same thing, that are there to support you and encourage you, I think is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of things, and I'm happy that I can bring those people. I mean, it was these three girls that had a similar kind of background of a problem with their past husband, and the fact that they are I've kind of helped them meeting and so they could share their stories together. I was kind of proud of myself, thinking, oh well, you know, if I didn't,
absolutely,
if I bring them people together, so I can take that on. You know, I don't like to blow smoke up my thing, like they say in English, but I can take
love that saying.
Yeah, you know, I can take that on board, because even though I will do something for the planet, yes, but the social thing that you mentioned is it's something that'll take a heart, you know, taking a heart or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
I'm not going to take too much of your time, you know. I've already taken 25 minutes, and I think you're a busy man, so I'm not going to, I don't want to overcooked in my first interview. I've got loads of other questions, but I don't want to take too much, so I always like to ask books, because I love reading books. I don't know about you, but have you got any books that you recommend off the bat to me?
Good.
What are you reading
question.
Right now?
I want to give you a good answer. Because truly, you know, I, for better or worse, I find myself reading more online articles these days.
Okay.
Some of my favorite publications are Green Biz, which is a pretty big American news source for sustainability stuff. And then, as is Grist. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Grist, but
nope.
That's spelled Grist.
Okay.
They, I believe, are based in Seattle or Portland. And they basically just present sustainability news in an objectively positive way, so they almost like us, they weave satire into their news. It's just like an uplifting source of news when there's so much trouble out there at the same time. So those are probably where I've been getting most of my content these days. I do, you know, I'll tell you, I've been trying to get a hold of, not necessarily like the book itself, the time to do it, but to read Bob Dylan's autobiography.
Oh,
I love reading musician autobiographies and kind of tracing their music over their lives. So that's the next for fun read that I'm looking to track down.
Ah, sounds good, actually. Then I might try to look into that. Thanks for that.
Sure.
Just one last thing I can't remember. I wanted to just mention, have you watched Chernobyl, the mini TV series from HBO? You must have heard of it.
No, you know, I've heard about it, but I've heard it's great. I haven't yet seen it, have you?
Oh, man, I've seen it all. I've binge-drinked it. And there's a podcast, actually, with the director, Craig Mazin, I think. It's fantastic. I cannot recommend it enough. And, I mean, it's towards the environment, so that's why I'm thinking I permit myself to talk about it. But it's an amazing TV series, and I was not aware of the heroes of Chernobyl, people that worked hard so hard to make sure that nobody else, that it could have been much worse than what it was. So I honestly, watch it. I think you would love it. I love it. I just can't. I've watched it twice already.
No kidding. Excellent. I will check it out.
That's it, Jay. I think, anything else you can think of that you'd like to share with me?
Yeah, I think you're doing some great work. I think you are a fantastic interviewer already, so
thanks.
I think I'm set, so thanks for having me on. It's been great to connect with you and your listeners too.
Oh, thank you. I don't have that many listeners, but eventually, you know, hopefully, if I stick to it, somebody actually said something to me this week, and I thought it was a great quote, because I wanted him to be on the podcast, and he said, get back to me when you get your 60th episode. And because he said somebody told him that when he started out. And I got fired up in my belly. I was like, this is great. This is what I want. This is what I want to hear. You know, he didn't tell me no. He said, get back to me when you're on your 60th episode. And I thought, fantastic.
I think that's great.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So thanks again for taking your time. I cannot thank you enough. And I'm honored for you to be on my podcast, because you're already where I want to be. So thank you very much for your time, Marty. And how's the weather in Denver right now?
Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you very much. I hope all the best for you, and I hope to stay in touch with you. Hopefully, I'm going to have you back again at some point. Thanks, Jay. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you for listening again. Please subscribe to the channel on YouTube or on all the platforms where you listen to this podcast. I've got a YouTube channel if you want to check it out. It's Didier Soulier. So that's Didier Soulier. Check me out on YouTube. Please, if you want to support this podcast, you don't have to. It's free. But you can on patreon.com. All the links are on the podcast show notes. And my PayPal account is there too. Thank you for listening again, and I see you soon.